The ongoing conflict in the Middle East has drawn attention away from other devastating wars around the world, including in Sudan, where millions of civilians have been displaced and many forced to flee to neighboring countries. The crisis comes as many donor nations sharply reduce refugee assistance, leaving humanitarian agencies scrambling to adapt. Special correspondent Fred DeSam-Lazaro reports now from Uganda, long one of the region's leading destinations for refugees.
In a world that seems ambivalent, even hostile toward refugees, Uganda stands apart.
$100.
Patrick Okello is commissioner of refugee affairs, overseeing what he readily calls an open door policy.
This is a very small number. Today has been a good day.
Every morning, just outside his Kampala offices, hundreds of recent arrivals gather. On this day, most from Ethiopia, Eritrea, and Somalia. The vast majority are approved for asylum.
In terms of rejection, it's about 2%, which is the lowest number anywhere in the East African region and even in the world.
We traveled to Kiryandongo, about 3 hours from Uganda's capital, where tens of thousands of refugees have settled and where hundreds continue to arrive every week.
Uganda has perhaps the world's most liberal refugee policy, and over the recent decades, up to 2 million people fleeing conflict in surrounding countries have come here. They're given work permits, a small plot of land to cultivate, things to start life over. That's never been easy in a low-resource setting, but after cutbacks in international aid programs in the last couple of years, it's become exponentially more difficult, and the government's been forced to make some tough decisions.
Refugees here have come mostly from South Sudan in recent years. That country, carved out of Sudan in 2011 after decades of brutal civil war, has been beset by internal conflict since. Then, about 3 years ago, Sudan itself became racked by violence, sending waves of Sudanese into a neighborhood now occupied mostly by their former South Sudanese antagonists. Beatrice Imani arrived here several years ago and settled into this home built with assistance from a non-government group and tends a small plot of land.
This used to be yours.
Then a chunk of it was recently taken from her, she says.
They told me they had a lot of Sudanese coming in, so I had to give them some of this land.
Food assistance she used to get in commodities and later cash, that too went away.
They said they are going to give us food again, but that has not happened. Maybe those people are taking all the support.
Resentment and conflict have arisen here, and even killings, driven as much by scarcity as old animosity, officials say.
The stability of the situation in the settlements is something that, you know, is extremely worrying.
Jason Heps heads the Uganda office of the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. UNHCR has for years provided support to the Ugandan government, but this year it's raised just 10% of the funds it says are needed here.
And so you have to triage.
Because they are new here, the Sudanese get priority, but they don't get much. 37-year-old Aisha Adan Musa, separated from her soldier husband, fled here from the Darfur region with four small children. Unlike arrivals in earlier years, there's no assistance to build her a sturdier home than this tent-like structure. She receives just under $75 in food assistance, which must stretch for 2 months.
I get some maize, yams, cooking oil. Sometimes I can buy tomatoes. I go to the market and around the neighborhood to collect clothes to wash so I can get something extra. I can make porridge with sugar for the kids.
Her children will not likely see a school anytime soon.
This year, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of children will just not, it will be a lost year for them.
There's simply no money, he says, as most donor nations have reduced their assistance budgets. The U.S., by far the largest donor, cut its global humanitarian assistance to one-third of what it was 2 years ago. Heps says healthcare funding has fallen through the floor.
We had about, all told, $30 million. That was 24. In 25, That was reduced to about 15, and this year we started the year with about $2 million.
At the Panyadoli Health Center, serving some 300,000 people in the area, the staff has been trimmed from 133 2 years ago to about 50 today, among them just two doctors.
I'm delivering 85 to 90 women per week.
One of them is Alex Dazita.
And 45 beds to accommodate these women. And the rule, you say, is if you have a normal delivery, you're on the floor. If you have a C-section, you have first dibs on a bed.
Yes, to try to prevent complications, infections, and so on.
Caesarean sections are common among the Sudanese patients, he says, due to the practice of female genital cutting.
Out of five, you will find that three are by C-section.
Three out of five.
Yes.
As we spoke, I had to quickly duck out of the way as the family of a patient just behind us sought the doctor's attention. The patient had just delivered and her blood pressure was spiking.
Let me first bring my gloves. Last year, I've been to lose a mother, but I've lost babies. I lost around 67 babies.
67 babies. How many of these would have been preventable if you had the amenities that you need?
Around 50 of them would be preventable.
He's worked to better the odds for babies, landing donations of incubators and improvising. This contraption with three naked light bulbs, for example.
That was my phototherapy. For baby, we have jaundice, yellowing of the eyes and the skin.
For bilirubin.
Overall, the survival rate of newborns here climbed from 90 to 96% between May 2024 and May 2025. Mothers and babies are just one part of the workload here. On any given day, there are hundreds of patients with HIV, TB, and malaria, with hypertension, diabetes, and heart disease. Dr. Tazita says he hasn't taken a vacation since at least 2024, and he's been awake most of the time.
How many hours do you sleep?
A maximum of three, sometimes two. Yesterday I died of this place at three.
You left this place at 3 a.m.?
A.m.
And woke up?
6:30, I was here.
In response to UN appeals, the United States recently announced a $2 billion grant for humanitarian assistance worldwide. The funds are to kick in later this year, with Uganda's share at $75 million.
That will cover a lot of the humanitarian immediate life-saving needs for health workers, for medicine, and what we were calling a bridge.
A bridge that will span only a part of a sea of humanitarian need, he says, in a region where conflict seems unrelenting.
Hosting refugees is a global shared responsibility. It should not be left entirely to Uganda alone. We've given land, but the refugees need shelter. We've given land, the refugees need food. We've given land, children have to go to school. Children need health services. The women need to deliver children in decent hospital environment.
For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSam Lazaro in the Kiryandongo Refugee Settlement, Uganda.